From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Corte Madera.
Pleasant Hill.
Inner Richmond in San Francisco.
Montclair in Oakland.
Tiburon.
Sausalito.
Japantown, San Francisco.
Berkeley, California.
This hour, get ready to laugh. We hear from comedians who are fighting against prejudice with jokes.
In comedy, you can't go up there and not address what's different about you.
Then we'll give you a taste of KALW's new comedy feature, FSFSF.
For one thing, I got this voice. Yeah, you know, I got the black-white guy voice, so that's fucking out.
And we'll hear from the San Quentin prison report about an inmate whose comedy helped him out of his shell.
I had people looking at me, and I was looking back at them, and I was more focused on looking at them than actually telling the joke.
We got jokes today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Welcome back to a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area. I'm Hanat Baba. Today on Cross Currents, it's all about the funny. And to help us talk about comedy today, we have Victor Escobedo. Hello.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
¿Cómo estás? Victor is a local comedian and also CEO and co-founder of San Francisco's famous Papalote Mexican Grill. He's also the founder of the Comedy Workout Room, an open mic that seeks to create a place for local comics to work on the material and network with other comics. It's been around for 5 years, and he's currently looking for a home in Solano County for
yes.
that. Yeah. Yep. So, Victor, how do you pronounce your name? Did I do that correctly?
Yeah, it's Escobedo, but I hate it when people like get the Spanish word and they stop to really pronounce it properly. So Escobedo, Escobedo.
Escobedo.
Escobedo. Hello, I'm Victor Escobedo.
Or Escobedo.
Or Victor Escobedo.
Ooh, Victor.
Victor Escobedo. Grande, grande, grande. Gol Escobedo.
Gol. All right, so it's Victor Escobedo.
You can call me anything but late for dinner.
All right.
And don't call me collect.
We've started, like, we're hot on fire already.
Yeah, I told my drunk uncle I would do his jokes, and those were his two jokes. So,
good decision.
They're all drunk uncles, actually.
Good decision.
Yes.
So it turns out this is not the first time you've had to deal with getting people to pronounce your name correctly.
That's right.
Here's a clip of you with one of the Bay Area's most beloved comedians.
Victor Escobedo.
Victor Escobedo.
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 Victor Escobedo.
Victor Escobedo. ¿Quién es más macho? Victor Escobedo es más macho. Rablo. Nada. Gracias.
Victor Escobedo.
Victor Escobedo. Bienvenido, Estados Unidos.
Now, listeners can't see the video, but that's Robin Williams with you, Victor, backstage at a show. Your arms are around each other. You're looking into the camera. It's really awesome. Tell me about that moment. How did it happen?
Well, Mark Pitta ran a room for about 10 years in Larkspur at the Throckmorton Theater.
Mm.
And he started as a open mic for comics who are already professionals, really, who are traveling, and then they would come and work out jokes at a more serious level than a little open mic in San Francisco or whatever. Not that little open mics are not important, right? But so this is more for professional comics. And then he got a real big following, and people started coming from all over the country. And I think it was America's open mic, where all the big comics wanted to come and hang out. And he would give us a chance to show up and do a little time here and there. And I was lucky enough to be doing a show. He told me, okay, I'm going to put you in towards the end, and I only want you to do 10 minutes, okay? So, no, he gave me 5 minutes.
Five.
So I was right before the headliner, and I remember being there on the wings on the side, and he taps me on the shoulder. I was ready to go on, and he's like, do only 5 minutes because he just showed up and he wants to go on. So I turn around, and there's Robin Williams looking at me.
Oh.
And I had been doing comedy for like 3 or 4 years, and I was really nervous as it was. And so I went up on stage, and I was just so worried because here's Robin Williams looking at me, and I would turn to the side to see him, and he would just be like giving me the thumbs up, going like, "Yeah, you're doing great," like kind of mocking me because he knew what weight I had on my shoulders watching Robin Williams do my song and dance. You know, it was so. But you know, after that, I got off the stage. The headliner went on. And I'm like, "Hey, can I teach you how to pronounce my name?" He's like, "Sure." I'm like, "But can I do it on video here?" He's like, "Oh my God, that's genius." And he totally helped me out. The guy was such a cool guy. He would call me boss. He would call everybody boss. "Hey, boss." In the green room. It was just such a neat experience to see someone who's made it so far into his career that he would share time with us.
Hold your hand.
Yes,
so
definitely.
To speak.
Like, support us.
We're going to be hearing a lot of jokes during today's show for you to kind of give us your opinion on how they are.
I'll tell you what's what.
All right, you'll tell us what's what.
Oh,
but first, we're going to let some professionals handle the jokes.
They'll tell me what's what.
In our first story.
Yes.
The main point of comedy is to get the audience laughing, but many comics use their jokes as social commentary. Think of John Oliver's show Last Week Tonight.
Yes, net neutrality. The only two words that promise more boredom in the English language are featuring Sting. And
in the Bay Area, there's a group of disabled comics who are continuing that outspoken tradition with their group called the Comedians with Disabilities Act. KALW's Jeremy Dalmas stopped by a couple of their shows to hear what they're trying to do.
It's Thursday night, and Nina G is about to get on stage for a comedy set.
I'm a little too overwhelmed to be anxious.
Normally, she performs in clubs and bars, but tonight she's at SOMARTS, a cultural center in San Francisco. The gallery is crowded with people and with art.
Everybody, please make it loud for Nina G!
A sign language interpreter is on stage signing her whole performance. Nina G introduces herself.
So I am America's only female stuttering stand-up comedian.
And then she gets right into it.
People tell me all the time, because I also have dyslexia, that stuttering and dyslexia, those aren't real disabilities, and I shouldn't be in the Comedians with Disabilities Act. And I explained to them, if you look at the definition of what a disability is, according to the Americans with Disabilities Act, it's a physical or mental impairment that substantially results in having to deal with assholes.
Tonight is the opening of a gallery show that features artists with disabilities. The Comedians with Disabilities Act are the live entertainment. Their name says it all. And Nina G's first joke about people not thinking she's disabled enough brings up a common problem for members of her comedy troupe.
Michael, who uses a wheelchair, people tell him that he doesn't really need the chair. They tell Steve he's not really a little person, and Eric that he's not really blind. I can only speculate, but I think part of it might be is that they may see us as peers, and if we're peers, then how can we have a disability?
She sees herself as part of a line of comedians who use comedy as social commentary. Think of Chris Rock.
White men are getting in trouble for saying the wrong words, man. It's unbelievable, man. And a lot of white guys, "Hey, man, it's not fair. You can say whatever you want. You can say nigger." Yeah, when I last checked, that was the only advantage I had to being black.
I mean, I've learned so much from him about being black in America. How do you talk about these really difficult things, but in a funny way?
It's a balance between being funny, being edgy, and educating people.
How many disabled people does it take to screw in a light bulb? One to screw it in, and five able-bodied people to say, "You are such an inspiration."
Back at the show, Nina G finishes up her set.
Thank you guys so much!
And Eric Mee, a comedian who's blind, takes the stage.
All right. Hey, I found it! Yeah. That's my whole set. Good night.
This performance featured most of the comedians in the Comedians with Disabilities Act. the group performs together around Northern California about every 2 months. The rest of the time, they are solo acts.
We're kind of like the Avengers in a way.
Michael O'Connell founded the group back in 2010.
You know, the Avengers, they all have their own individual movies, but, you know, every few years we get together for the really big world-saving stuff.
He refers to himself as a wheelchair comedian.
His friend Griff has gotten tired of people snickering when I tell them I'm a stand-up comedian.
The group just released their first comedy album this month.
Some people out there really like to push wheelchairs. The problem I have is when complete strangers decide they want to try it out. And forgive me for this, I'm sorry, but I want you to think of the handles on the back of a wheelchair as breasts. If you don't know the person they're attached to, probably shouldn't be touching them in the first place.
O'Connell feels that his identity and his jokes are wrapped up with one another.
I will get angry if someone just puts me, you know, as a comedian. I'm like, no, wheelchair comedian. That's my thing. I want people to know that. In comedy, you can't go up there and not address what's different about you.
And sometimes the audience reacts to this specific difference by not laughing.
People, you know, God bless them, they've been raised to think that laughing at disabled people is not nice. And that kind of screws things for us in the comedy field.
At this show, people were laughing, but every performance is a bit different.
Everybody having a good time? Did you enjoy that?
After the show, Nina G explains that when an audience tries to be politically correct, it can be awkward.
No, you not laughing at us shows that you still have remnants of discrimination and bias because you're not treating us like everybody else. At an open mic once, there was a woman who was in the audience and she was covering up her eyes and she wouldn't look at me. So I got the mic and I got right in her face and did and like I stuttered and then it broke the ice. It was good.
It worked that time. But does their act work other times? Can one night of comedy change a person's behavior? That's what O'Connell and the rest of the group hope to see.
What we do as human beings, that which we don't know is what we fear. And that's what's so beautiful about this show that we do, is that a lot of people have never met someone in a wheelchair or a blind person or someone who stutters. And so it's fearful, it's unusual. And once we finish our show, they feel like they actually do know somebody who's blind or in a wheelchair.
A few jokes can be a good way to talk about things that maybe aren't getting enough attention, while having a fun evening at the same time. For Cross Currents, I'm Jeremy Dalmas.
You're listening to a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and I'm here in studio with Victor Escobedo, co-founder of Papalote's Mexican Grill and a comedian. Hi, yes. Victor.
Hi.
Hey, so we just heard about how comedy can fight stereotypes or perceptions of different people. Have you done that before in your comedy?
Yeah, the main thing is I'm Mexican, and I look Mexican, and I look just like Cheech. So then I was fighting it for a while, but then I would just get up.
Cheech and Chong.
Cheech of Cheech and Johnson. I only know of
just
Cheech.
Just clarify.
Yeah, but yeah, so Cheech and Johnson were, okay, yes, Cheech from Cheech and Chong. Mm. Dave's not here. And so, you know, I get up on stage and my first thing sometimes that I say is like, I'm not Cheech. Mm. And they'll say I'm not Mr. Miyagi either because I look like a combination of Mr. Miyagi and Cheech. So the point is you have to really, if somebody shows up on stage with a broken arm, everyone's waiting for at least acknowledge it, right? Acknowledge that you have a broken arm. And so if you have disabilities, of course, you're going to talk about that. But yeah, you're almost forced to point out the obvious before you can go on and get your credibility as a human being with observations that are not necessarily based on what you look like, what your disabilities are, or you know what the stereotypes might be on who you are.
And what does that do then when you make fun of it?
Well, then you're in the room. People know that you're not. They're not watching TV. They're in a room with a person who's going to be talking to them. A good comic will actually express what they feel about the moment. Mm. You know, it doesn't have to be in the room. It could be what's going on outside. The premise could be what's going on with myself, with us in this room, or what's going on outside of this room. And you can talk about it. You can talk about war. You can talk about this room. If somebody drops a tray, one of the waitresses drops a tray and makes a lot of noise with it, you better stop your joke and talk about it and maybe make a joke about that. But even if you don't, you have to point out that you're in the room with them.
Be present.
Be present. It's not theater. There's not the fourth wall or anything. You really want to be, you know, as if you're in your living room talking to your friends. You know, that's why they're there.
Excellent. So we want to be present with our listeners. This is our May Spring Membership Campaign.
Yes, be present, people.
Be present with
Show
us
your presence.
At KALW. And we're going to go over to Studio A to see what's going on with the campaign.
Thanks, Hanan. Thanks, Victor. I'm Angela Johnston. I'm here with Christina Loring. And we're in the final days of our membership campaign. And right now, in this hour, we have a challenge. Christina, can you tell me about that challenge? Can you tell our listeners about that challenge?
Oh, I'd love to, Angela. We need to get 22 calls or clicks before the end of the hour. If we get 22 calls or clicks, we get an extra $500.
$500. That's a lot. That means a lot to us at KALW.
So all you have to do is call 1-800-525-9917 or just click that magical donation button on KALW.org.
That's 800-525-9917 or go online. And this hour, we're going to be hearing a lot of jokes. We'll be laughing, but this isn't really a laughing matter. This is serious to us. Your support is serious. So give us a call, give us a click, go online, KALW.org.
KALW is free range, locally grown public radio, and we need your help to make it grow.
So please go to the phone, go to the website, KALW.org, or 800-525-9917. 22 calls or clicks, that's pretty easy. I think I see some phone lines are open, the phones could be ringing, you can go.
Ooh, I think our volunteers are doing a little let's call us dance. I love it.
Your support really helps here at KALW. You help us bring you stories that you've never heard before. You help us take you to places you've never been before. It's a place where you can expand your knowledge of the world, deepen your connection to the diverse communities of the Bay Area. We'll go into some of those communities in the next hour, and we really appreciate your support. So help us get to that 22, that magical number 22.
Just 22 clicks, people. Just 22 clicks.
Or calls.
just a reminder, KALW is not monoculture or public radio. This is diverse. This is dynamic, and we're listener supported. And you guys are the soil and the sunlight and the water that helps us grow. Help us grow. Call 1-800-525-9917 or go online at KALW.org.
And we only are going to be talking to you about this campaign for 48 more hours. The time is running out, so please pick up that phone, 800-525-9917.
Ooh, the phone is ringing. You're listening out there, and we appreciate it.
Or go online, KALW.org. Everyone's looking at their smartphones. It's easy. Type it in. Find that yellow donate button, KALW.org.
We love it. We're laughing along. I can see Hanaz giggling. We're all feeling it. We love your support.
And now back to the show.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. You may have heard the comedy series that airs on KALW called FSFSF, hosted by Nato Green, that introduces listeners to Bay Area comics. Today, we'll meet Kevin Avery.
This is
FSFSF.
I'm Nato Green, and this is Kevin Avery. So, doing open mics is always horrible everywhere in the world. You're like performing into the abyss. And every once in a while, Kevin would come into the open mic occasionally to work on new material and just blow the roof off. And it was a real, like, profound moment to realize, oh, this is not the room that a good comic can do well, even in the worst room. Check out Kevin Avery.
I don't know. I just want to be more hardcore. That would be the, you know what I mean? Especially as a black guy. But that's not going to happen. For one thing, I got this voice. Yeah, you know, I got the black white guy voice, so that's fucking out. It's just, you know the drill. Basically, as a black man, I got that voice. I can get the bank loan, maybe like over the telephone. But yeah, right? But as soon as I actually walk into the bank, it's, oh, we got a problem. Yes, Cecil, get down here. We got a code Alpha Zulu, code Alpha Shaka Zulu. Inform the president we're at Def Jam 1. Click, click. But it's my voice. It's who I am. I like who I am, right? Like, a lot of black folks complain about, what, like, the police never come when we call them a like that in a neighborhood, right? Not me. This voice is like having a Visa Platinum identity. In fact, a lot of my black friends call me to call the police for them. Well, it works, you know. 911, what's your emergency? Well, we have got a fiasco down here. Oh, it's getting downright crunk up in this. Make haste. Make haste. Sure enough, the cops show up, you know, and I'm the one who gets arrested, and that's that. But, can't fight City Hall.
That's Kevin Avery. Find him on Twitter at Kevin Avery. FSFSF is a production of KLW and Rooftop Comedy. Find more Bay Area comedy at klw.org.
And thanks to Nato Green for bringing us Kevin Avery on FSFSF. I still can't say that right. I'm Hannah Baba with Victor Escobedo here with me in studio. He's the co-owner of the beloved Papalotes Mexican Grill, and he's a comedian. Victor, so some comics like Kevin just now talk about race and ethnicity. I've heard you ask people to call you Your Mexcellency. Is that right?
Yes, because I'm so Mexican.
Because you're so Mexican.
Yeah, and I love to educate people. So when I'm on stage, I let them know, look, if you have any questions about the Mexican experience, if you ever like wondered, you know, saw a Mexican standing outside, you know, at a corner selling oranges, because they do that sometimes. If you ever wanted to like stop and say like, I don't want your oranges, but I want to know what's it like to this or that, then here's our chance. They're in front of a Mexican. He has a microphone.
Ask a Mexican.
Ask a Mexican. Well, Ask a Mexican is actually Gustavo Arellano, and he has a column in L.A. Mm. I did a show called Ask the Mexican at the Comedy College with Curtis Matthews. And it was just Ask the Mexican. And I wanted people to like ask me. And then I heard from Arellanos. He said like, hey, dude, I'm the Mexican. I'm like, no, you're a Mexican. I'm the Mexican.
Un
Mexicano, el Mexicano. Yeah, exactly. So we went, oh, that's very good.
You just talked.
We were just talking about definite and indefinite articles.
We were.
So, yeah, it's yeah, culture.
So how do you decide what's okay to make fun of and what's not?
If it's true to you, if it's your truth, then go ahead and say it. You know, people ask me, when I do open mics at bars, people don't expect a comedy show. So you don't want to walk people from the bar, right? If the bar is giving you an opportunity to have an open mic, some people might have seen bar drinks. So they go in there and it's like, oh, there's a comedy show. You don't want to walk those people. But if people are going into a comedy show and they know there's going to be a comedian, then that gives you more leeway to just kind of say what you really want to say. So it becomes a part of like, okay, is it a business and am I helping this business sell more drinks, or am I at a comedy show where I can express myself?
Is there a line that you don't cross?
No, if it's your truth, you should say it. There's a lot of people dying for the freedom of speech. And people ask me, hey, can I swear? Can I say this? It's like, you know what? You can say anything you want. You have a microphone in front of you. Just make sure that whatever you say was worth some people dying for. Right?
All right. That's deep. So, like I said earlier, we have some people who wanted to try their hand at a joke or two, some KLW fans.
Yes.
And they want you to kind of critique it.
Okay.
Right here on the air in front of everybody.
Okay, that's good.
So let's go to our first one. Let's hear from Mary Roach.
A skeleton walks into a bar. He says, give me a beer and a mop.
That is funny.
That was the joke?
You didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
It's hilarious.
How?
Where's his stomach? Where's the beer going to go when he drinks the beer? It's a skeleton. It's going to hit the floor. It's a skeleton.
Thank you, Victor.
That skeleton didn't tickle your funny bone, did he? Wow. That was genius.
It took a while for me.
Yeah.
So what makes a good joke?
Well, there's jokes, and then there's funny anecdotes that tell your experience and the way you look at life, right? So jokes have a twist, right? Mm-hmm. There's a twist to every joke. There's a guy, Greg Dean, the Dean of Comedy. He has a book called Step by Step to Stand-Up Comedy, and it just tells you about the flip. So if I say, like, the woman I love just kicked me out of the house. Mm. So everybody's all depressed for me, and I go, Mom, you can't do that to me. Right, you're expecting it to be my wife or my girlfriend. Ends up, it turns out it's my mom. So there's a flip. There's a twist. So a good joke gives you a twist or a flip.
All right.
So we can look at that when we listen to the next jokes.
Let's flip on over to Studio A and see how our people in the membership campaign room are doing. Hey.
Hi. This is Angela. I'm here with Christina. We're going to update you on that challenge that we have going for this hour.
And thank you to Don Wiepert. Now that we only need 21 more clicks or calls to reach our goal of getting an extra $500. And Don says, I can't believe you do so much wonderful, innovative stuff with so little money. And we're like, thank you, Don.
Thanks, Don.
I appreciate that comment. So you can be just like Don. Call 1-800-525-9917 or go to kalw.org and click on the donation page.
And if you call during this hour, we will get an extra $500, which means a lot here at KALW. And as you can tell from this show, laughing makes you feel good. But what also makes you feel good is going to the phone, picking it up and calling 800-525-9917 and giving support to the station that brings you stories that make you feel joy, brings you stories that make you laugh, make you cry, make you feel and get you in touch with what the Bay Area is feeling.
Yeah, and stand-up comedians like Victor are standing up for KALW, and they're going to the phone, 1-800-525-9917, or they're going to the internet, and they're going to kalw.org and just clicking that button, getting really excited, giving us some money.
Right, take a stand up for KALW, 800-525-9917, or go online at kalw.org. A click is as good as a call. Remember, we have that challenge. We only need 21 more, and we think we can do it. So pick up that phone, 800-525-9917, kalw.org, and we're going to go back to the show.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Our next look at comedy comes from the San Quentin Prison Report.
The San Quentin Prison Report.
SQPR is a media collective of prisoners and volunteers from the community working together to give voice to personal growth, social transformation, and restorative justice.
Jonathan Chu is an inmate at San Quentin State Prison. He was born in Hong Kong in 1982 and moved to the U.S. with his family when he was 8 years old. Soon after that, Chu discovered his love of comedy, writing jokes to help him cope with adapting to a new life in a new country. And comedy continues to help him adjust to life at San Quentin, where he regularly does stand-up. SQPR reporter Adnan Khan takes us to one of Chu's performances.
Thank you. You know, growing up, it was kind of awkward for me. I mean, I've dated girls outside my race. You know, I've dated a white girl, Hispanic. And back then, it wasn't thought of as acceptable as it is now. And when I was dating a white girl, people would think, well, you know, she must need help with math.
That's Jonathan Chu. Performing at a recent holiday feast, nearly 40 prisoners are gathered around a table full of food and beverages to enjoy this rare yet festive atmosphere and choose comedy.
I love watching movies, but coming to America watching American movies, I really couldn't relate to them. You know, Star Wars is one of my favorite films, but what I couldn't understand was in a galaxy far, far away, there's no Chinese people.
Chu discovered comedy at a young age in Hong Kong. He loved watching movies growing up, and it was the humor of Jackie Chan that made him laugh and escape his problems.
Jackie Chan is one of my favorite actors, and his movies was considered to be funny, which made me laugh.
His passion for comedy movies continued and eventually developed a sense of humor of his own. Chu began to see humor in everyday life, and he felt he could be as funny as the comedians on TV. So one day he wrote down some funny thoughts into a journal.
So I decided to write my first joke down. It wasn't really a good one, it was a bad one. It's kind of corny, but I guess it made certain people laugh.
Once in America, he started writing jokes about his culture. A lot of his material was poking fun at the Chinese stereotypes he encountered on the school grounds.
But, you know, I got adjusted. You know, one of the things is I love movies and music. You know, I love country music. You know, it's kind of relatable. Songs about, you know, my girl leaving me with me and my dog. You know, for me, it's like, you know, she left me because I ate our dog. So when I came to America, the kids often made fun of me and teased me about my culture. So when I started writing my jokes down, I often used those stereotypes because that's what's relatable for people. But anyways, I'm fairly tall. I'm 5'5". So back, you know, at least back in China, I'm considered Shaquille O'Neal.
When he came to prison, his material changed. He geared his comedy around incarceration and things he was experiencing behind these walls.
Coming to prison, you know, I was a little scared. Not knowing anything about it, I thought I would need protection. So I thought I needed, like, you know, a weapon and, like, a medieval reverse chassis belt so that I wouldn't become some guy's concubine.
Hidden behind Chu's comedy was his challenging past. Chu suffered from the physical and emotional abuse at the hand of his parents. Growing up, he never discussed this, and keeping these secrets made him socially reserved.
So I'm very introverted. I don't really talk to a lot of people. So the first time I performed, I was anxious and a little scared, you know, looking out in the crowd and seeing all these sets of eyes on me. My heart was racing, and I didn't know where to put my hands because the mic was in front of me, so, you know, I couldn't really figure out where my hands was going to be. Trying to remember all my lines, it was kind of difficult because I had people looking at me and I was looking back at them, and I was more focused on looking at them than actually telling the joke.
Eventually, it would be his comedy that allowed him to open up about his past.
You know, there was physical abuse in the home. And, you know, my parents beat me and called me stupid. And I think, you know, back in my mind, you know, when is Grandpa coming over to beat you guys for having such a stupid kid?
Comedy has changed him for the better. With the help of his humor, he is now more at ease socially. And he's learning to accept his difficult past.
Now, after my performance, I've actually got people coming up to me now saying that I'm a comedian. But now, you know, I say what's up to them because normally, you know, in any other setting, I wouldn't have met them or talked to them otherwise.
So how'd that make you feel?
This actually made me feel awkward at first because usually I don't have people coming up to me and, you know, giving me compliments saying, hey, good job, you know, that was pretty good jokes. And, you know, I was laughing when you did the show. But I've developed new relationships with other people now.
Chu hopes to expand on comedic opportunities. His dream would be to do stand-up professionally and to be a writer for sitcoms. That is something he continues to passionately work towards, one performance at a time.
But really, I'm not too religious. I don't really celebrate Christmas. I'm more of agnostic because I kind of gave up on God. I kind of felt like he got lazy with the Chinese. He said, you know, he got lazy and just said, you know what, make them all the same. Just make sure their eyes are so small that they won't even notice it anyways. So this is my time. Thank you, everybody, for having me.
For the San Quentin Prison Report, I'm Anand Khan, bringing you another hidden story.
And this is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, and we just heard that story. We are very proud of our partnership with San Quentin Prison, all the stories from inside the prison walls. I'm here with Victor Escobedo, co-owner of Papalote's Mexican Grill and local comedian. Victor, can comedy be used to cope with some of these harder issues in life?
Definitely. And by the way, that's a fourth different way of pronouncing my name.
How did I say it?
You said it's Scooby Doo. Like, next is going to be Scooby Dooby Doo. Oh. And now here comes Victor and the Mystery Machine. Scooby Dooby Doo. Victor? Scooby Snack? Okay.
You're a 70s child, aren't you?
Yes, no. Yes, no. Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, did you notice how when Mr. Chu started talking about when he was a little kid and he was abused by his parents, or he got real? And that's comedy. The jokes about, oh, God gave up on the Chinese and his other eyes. And when you can write the joke that the comedian is telling on stage, when you can, they telegraph it, you're like, I know where this is going, then that's hack. It's not really comedy. So it's not a communicator. It's just some guy trying to get a laugh out of you. That's jokey jokes. But when you start really talking about your experience, like this guy, he opened up about being, you know, his parents hitting him. A lot of these guys in jail might relate, right? And they might say, I know what that felt like to me. I want to see what it felt like to you, right? And even if you can't empathize, you can sympathize. And you don't have to be a victim of abuse to really understand what's happening. And if they twist it, if they flip it, then it's funny, you know, and it's even more, you can really sympathize with that person.
You said communication. You studied communication at Berkeley.
Yes.
So what is it about that, like the reaching the person? How do you do that?
Well, I made up my own major, social communication, Latino culture, at the, it was a social science field major. I had to write a thesis. But I wanted to be a reporter. And I realized that when you report, in my experience, you tell your story and then they cut it and they go like, no, don't cut that part but your byline goes on there anyway.
We know a little bit about
that. Yeah, and so it's really your story, the way you saw it, but you can't help it be biased, right? So you try to be objective, but it's not always the case. Then you go into advertising. I went into advertising and then it's not your truth and you're fabricating a truth. And then you write a commercial, you go out to the street and you see people buying five or six. You're like, you don't even need one. Don't buy all of those, right? But if you're looking for your truth in stand-up, there's nothing between your heart through your mouth into the microphone. So that's why stand-up is like your truth uncensored. Nobody's saying, hey, that's too long, it's too short. So really,
No editors.
You only edit yourself. So when you have an open mic, especially an open mic, when people ask me, what can I say or not say? It's like, you ask yourself that question, man. I mean, what are you asking me for? You know, if you're going up there on stage and you're going to tell jokes, don't tell bar jokes. That's another thing. When somebody starts telling a bar joke, something that's not even their joke and it's a joke they heard on TV or something, I'll finish it for them and embarrass them.
So let's go on to hear another joke from another KLW fan who wants to hear your opinion on it. Let's hear from Reggie Collins.
What is the difference between a dirty bus station and a large-breasted crab?
What?
One is a crusty bus station, and the other is a busty crustacean.
A play on words. I think that's very clever. He's a wordsmith. Mm. Not funny. No, that was hilarious. That's great. It was funny how clever he thought he was.
All right.
No, he is very clever.
Okay.
Very smart. Is he's
standing
behind me.
Yay, thumbs
up. He's standing
up.
Behind me, right? He is.
He's
that
right there.
Oh, my,
right there.
Oh my
he's
gosh.
Right there.
Okay.
And over there,
oh
we're
God.
Going to go to Studio A and check in on how the pledge is going. Hi, guys.
Hi. Thanks, Hannah. Thanks, Victor. And we want to update you on this challenge that we've had for the hour. We wanted 22 calls or clicks, and we would get an extra $500. We need 17 more. 17 more calls or clicks. You can do that. You can help us out. 800-525-9917.
And I just want to give a special shout out to Ruth Auerbach and Jeff Lemer for helping us bring us down to 17 clicks. Jeff says our station is really awesome, great content, and he wanted to be a part of it. And he was, because he called 1-800-525-9917. And you can do that, or you can visit KALW.org to make a donation.
And here at KALW, we are all about the puns, whether it's about a busty crustacean or KALW t-shirts, which is a pun on the leafy green that's so good for you. And if you can get a t-shirt, a KALW t-shirt, if you donate $91.70. And it's really cool. I have one. People always chuckle when I tell them what it means. So if you want to make people laugh just by wearing a cool t-shirt and supporting your public radio station just by wearing a t-shirt, find it online. Give us a call. Pick that as your gift. 800-525-9917 or at KALW.org. We only have 48 hours left in this membership campaign. So support non-commercial radio and give us a call. 800-525-9917. And Christina, I hear you have a joke for me.
I do have a little joke, and one that you would only hear on non-commercial radio. So Angela, ask me what the secret of comedy is.
What's the secret?
Timing.
Oh, and we only have 48 hours left. Speaking of timing, it's so important. So we need you to call 1-800-525-9917. I'm sure Victor loved my joke. But
yeah, we'll hear about that. We'll hear about that later.
Or you can go to kalw.org. We are listener-supported radio, and we need listeners like you for support. We are locally grown, non-commercial, and happy for your support.
And this is a station where the diversity of voices keeps expanding. So you just heard a piece from the San Quentin Prison Report, and that's something you can hear on KLW. That's something we grew this year. So if you'd like to help us grow, go to that phone. It's really easy, 800-525-9917, or go online at kalw.org and support the station that brings you this unique reporting and introduces you to the places you live.
And remember, we are in a very tense, very exciting challenge where we requested 22 calls or clicks, and you have already brought us down to 17. We just need 17 more calls or clicks. And if you call or click, we're going to get $500 extra dollars, and that's pretty exciting. So call 1-800-525-9917 or go to kalw.org and click that donation button.
And thank you very much from everyone who's helped us get there so far, and we're going to go back to the show.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Not all comedy is stand-up. Some of the funniest and wittiest stuff is written down, and sometimes it's written about burritos. The burrito eater, also known as Charles Hodgkins, gained fame for reviewing San Francisco burritos on his website, burritoeater.com. Using a scale involving mustaches, Hodgkins ate his way through 1,000 burritos and wrote about them all until he called it quits in 2013. KLW's Ben Trefney was with him for the very last slab.
Charles and I are walking with several other burrito eaters through the Mission District. I ask him what he's been thinking about as he approaches the end of an era.
Blank thoughts. I've been thinking that it's been a long road. It's been 11 years, and we're walking down 25th Street, and this is the end of the road. And that's about as deep as I can get at this point.
I think it's really interesting that we're walking through the Mission District as we approach the final burrito. We're going to be passing a lot of burrito joints that you did not choose, like La Taqueria.
Awesome tacos, substandard burritos. I've never understood that place's popularity. And clearly neither is that person.
We pass boutique stores selling trendy t-shirts, bodegas with bins full of fruit on the sidewalk, Mayan dancers performing on a street corner. And then we reach a tortilla factory and taqueria called La Espiga de Oro. We go inside.
Hello, how are you? I'd like to get a super carne asada burrito with refried beans. No sour cream, please.
The restaurant's narrow, clean, and warmly painted. It's pleasant and uncrowded. We sit down.
Okay, so you just got something out. Tell me about this, because this is an important part of burrito eater lore.
This is the rating score sheet, which when you have 1,000 burritos, you know, it's you don't remember specific details of every one of them. So
that's why you have a blog.
It's a website.
11 years into his unpaid quest to keep tabs on every burrito place in San Francisco, Charles' website is something to behold. The entrance page shows a pop art painting from a random taqueria. Inside, you can sort the reviews by name, by neighborhood, by rating, or by his number of visits. Charles has reviewed Papalote in the Mission District 21 times. This is his 10th trip to La Espiga de Oro, which is his current favorite.
You've ordered your final burrito as the burrito eater. How do you feel now?
Still hungry. I don't know, it's starting to hit me a little bit, but that's one of the reasons why I kind of wanted to have a lot of friends with me.
For support?
For, you know, a little bit of emotional support, yeah. I mean,
what do you mean it's starting to hit you a little bit?
Just the fact that this is the last time I'll walk into a taqueria with my score sheet and do my thing.
So the burritos have started to roll out.
Tastes really good.
It's time for us to get down to business.
I love burritos.
Really good.
Right?
Sort of.
Aren't they the best?
Charles bites. Chews. He mulls. He pops the last bite in his mouth, and he centers himself over his score sheet.
Numbers.
Here it comes.
Tally.
Couple tens.
Got a 10 on spiciness.
This one is pretty easy to rate because it was so good.
Yeah, 8 on size, 10 on tortilla.
This is one of the highest rated burritos I've ever had.
9.25 for the burrito you just ate.
It speaks for itself.
There's a lot of tens on there.
There are a lot of tens on there.
I've heard plenty of people say something is the best they've ever had. Whatever. When Charles says that, it really does mean something. He ate his favorite burrito at the Little Chihuahua on Divisadero Street. It was a fajita pollo asado worth 9.42 mustaches. It was September 23rd, 2009. You could read about it.
I just want to know
what was the all-time lowest score?
Oh, that was it was a two-mustache burrito at a place that I'm actually blanking out the name of. It was bad. Like it was unmelted American cheese food in the burrito.
This one was way better than that. Satisfied, we walked back out onto 24th Street.
Thank you.
So, Charles, you walk out no longer the burrito eater, but a civilian.
I'm still the burrito eater for a little while longer, but I'm on my way to being a civilian, yeah.
So what are your thoughts?
That was a really great burrito, first and foremost.
It's nice that you put the burrito first before yourself.
I'm that unselfish.
Do you feel different than when you walked into La Spiga de Oro today?
I feel quite full.
Here's the last question I have for you, Charles. Now that San Francisco's top resource for burritos and mustaches will be no longer, where are we supposed to go for burrito reviews?
Yelp!
You won't need to go to Yelp yet. There may be no more Burrito Eater, but his website archives will continue to bring burritos and eaters together. You will still be able to read about the 1,000 burritos Charles has eaten. If you think about it that way, all at once, it's pretty gross. But if you take them in one at a time, it's glorious.
That beautiful piece was reported by KALW's Ben Trefney, who is, as you can tell, a pretty big burrito fan. I'm Hanat Baba. This is Cross Currents. I'm sitting here with someone who knows a little something about Mexican cuisine, Mr. Victor. Okay, now I'm going to be afraid to say the name.
Escobedo.
Co-owner of Papalote is mentioned in that piece.
Yeah, that was goosebumps all over my body.
Oh, I could see you really like listening intently.
Man, Charles, he was such a good writer more than anything. He was really fair when he was rating the burritos, but he was just such a good writer. I want to be a writer someday. But this guy, witty, 1,000 reviews for burritos, and every time he had a little gem. He just came up with these things that, like, I wish I could remember that. Like, one of these, like, this friend of mine in high school used to call people Ace. I'm like, I'm going to start calling people Ace because it's cool. But I never remembered. But he remembered. That kind of, like, I want to be like him. Everything Charles wrote, it was just, forget about the food. Just his writing style. I miss reading him. Shout out to Charles.
All right. Well, your burritos at Papalote are award-winning.
Yes.
As is your famous salsa, which you brought us some today.
Yes, I did.
Yum. But you have a story about the recipe of the salsa. Can you tell it?
Well, yeah. That was a misunderstood story by your staff. But it's funnier the way we lost the recipe and we have to pay back for it.
Is it which way is funnier? Tell that.
That's it.
Okay.
That the recipe was in a suitcase and somebody lost the keys to the handcuffs.
Oh,
and
no.
Then fast forward 15 years and then we were living in Las Vegas. And we just had to, we had our last dollar. We put it on Better All in Black. And then we bought our salsa back. You should have been there.
You brought your salsa
back. I should have been there.
Well, that is hilarious. It's funny. Speaking of hilarious, let's go to a very last joke for you
let's
to critique.
This. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Let's go to Patrick Galvin.
An alcoholic and an egg walk into a bar. And the bartender says, "I'm sorry, we don't serve eggs here." And the alcoholic says, "What kind of breakfast place is this?"
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No, I mean that's great. It's a early morning joke. It's best told in the morning with a little glass of orange juice. It's a good way to start your day. I like that joke. Yeah, that was good. So, I don't know. You can't rate street jokes because street jokes are, you know, it's like a pony walks into a bar and it says, "Let me have a gin tonic." Bartender says, "What? Let me have a gin tonic." "I can't hear you." "I'm sorry, I'm a little hoarse." It's a throwaway joke. It's jokes. How can you say that's a good joke or a bad joke? It's a street joke.
It's a joke.
They're all funny.
It's a joke. Do you have a favorite joke that, like, when if people say, "Tell me a joke that you go to"?
No, that one, the pony one. Yeah,
the
pony one. I'm going to make that officially my joke.
Okay,
about, yes.
Officially as of today.
Yes, as of today.
You said it on the radio and everybody
I meant
heard
it.
You.
Yes.
All right. Now let's go in over and check in finally with our people in the membership room and see what is going on with them. This is our spring membership campaign here at KALW. We have 48 hours left in the campaign. And today is our show before last here on Cross Currents for Pledge. Before we go to them, we want to know about your upcoming appearances. How can people check you out?
Look for me on Facebook. I'm Victor, His Excellency Escobedo. I'm doing a show at Doc's Lab here in San Francisco on June 3rd with Miles Weber and Sam Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a great show. Yeah, so go to that one. June 3rd, Doc's Lab.
Doc's Lab.
Yeah.
What can people expect?
Miles Weber is a crazy guy. He's one of my proteges. And Sam Bruno is a crazy guy. He's one of my proteges. And I'll be there with my proteges. That's what.
And you're a crazy guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I taught myself everything I know.
Okay. So you've been in advertising. You want to be a writer.
Yeah.
You've done communications.
Yeah.
You co-own or co-founded a restaurant.
Yeah.
You're a comedian.
Yeah. The comedy came first. And I never said I was a good comedian, right? So I would get up on stage and people would throw tomatoes at me. And when life gives you tomatoes, you make salsa. What? What did I tell you?
Uh-huh.
That's funny.
It is funny.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today and for bringing the salsa. It is awesome.
I want to say
everybody can get it at Papalote.
Yeah, Papalote. I wanted to say hi to my partner, Miguel, my brother, and also my wife. We're partners and we're doing this, and it's been a great adventure with the Papalote salsa and the Papalote Mexican Grill. And thank you for having me, Hannah.
Thank
this is great.
You. Thank this you. Was wonderful. Thank you so much. And now let's check in with our folks in Studio A.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Victor. We're enjoying some salsa here, we're enjoying some chips, and we're enjoying our listeners who are calling and making this hour awesome. I want to thank Emily Vasos. I want to thank our listeners from San Rafael, Kenwood, and Los Altos for helping us bring our challenge down. We only need 11 more clicks or calls to meet our challenge, and we'll get an extra $500.
Extra $500, and we have less than 5 minutes left to do that. So this is the time. Less than 5 minutes left this hour to meet our challenge, and less than 48 hours before we take this drive to a close. And you can help us. You can help us. 800-525-9917. And go online at kalw.org. If you're on the internet, find that yellow donate button and click donate. And we're not really interrupting any of the programming. We're not telling you too much about the thank you gifts. We just need your support. 800-525-9917. Only 11 more. It's totally doable. Ben Trefney's looking at a phone. He could tell you about his favorite burrito if you call him. Emily, Leela, Chris, they're all there. They may even tell you a funny joke if you call right now, since this is a comedy show. Maybe not, but just call, talk to them. They're really nice.
Wait, I would like to tell a joke.
Oh, you'd
I have
like
a joke to tell a joke.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Wait, I'm ready.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
We're here. We're here in San Francisco, California. We're KALW. You can help us meet our goals. 1-800-525-9917. I'm cracking myself up. KLW.org.
Cracking
donate,
like a
please.
Tortilla chip.
Right. Right.
Ah, it's so fun here at KLW. Please donate to help us keep the station growing.
And 72% of KLW's operating budget comes directly from listeners, directly from you. Your support makes it possible. Your support makes possible KALW's Audio Academy. Christina and I both were in the Audio Academy last year. Your support makes that possible. You bring new voices into public radio. You develop the next generation of public radio reporters and producers. And you get to hear all sorts of stories. Your support makes that possible. The San Quentin Prison Report we just heard from today. The Spiritual Edge, Inflection Point, FSFSF, which we just heard a story from too. All of your support makes that possible.
And I want to thank some people who are making it possible. Ray Sue Sussman, who says, go Mashers. Woo woo. She donated today. Lila Day, who says, she's renewing because it feels so good. And
so
we really appreciate that. We appreciate that sentiment, and we appreciate your donation. So call 1-800-525-9917 or go to kalw.org. We only need 11 more clicks or calls for us to reach our goal, and we get an extra $500. That's a big deal around here.
That is a big deal. We went from 22, we're down to 11. You can help us get there. We only have 2 minutes left. The phones are ringing. Some are open. Give them a call, 800-525-9917. Help us build this community. Help us grow.
And Angela, I know that you think all these jokes are really funny, but this is no laughing matter. We really need our listener support.
It's true. We have 1 minute left. I know somebody is listening and laughing to the good jokes, to the bad jokes. Pick up that phone. Call 800-525-9917. Somebody's telling me we only need 6 more calls and clicks. That is getting so much more doable. There are phone lines open. Give us a call, 800-525-9917. There are 6 of you out there. I know that.
Oh, and we appreciate you. This is a station that can make you cry. It can make you laugh, and we want to keep doing that for you.
Make us laugh. Give us a call.
Yeah, make us laugh. Give us a call. Donate. Call 1-800-525-9917 or go online at klw.org.
We appreciate it. Thank you. This is KALW San Francisco.
And now,
we have more time.
We have more time to tell you things. It's amazing that we went from 22, our goal of 22 calls or clicks in the hour, and now we're down to 6 calls or clicks.
Three more
calls or clicks. It's rapid fire. It's like a fever dream in here. Thank you so much.
This is